Well, good evening, class. We got another good lesson for you today. We're going to be dealing again in the 12th chapter of Numbers, but this time we're going to take it from a little bit different aspect. 12th chapter of Numbers, if you remember, that's when Miriam and Aaron came against Moses because he married an Ethiopian woman. And then the Bible said God heard it and the Lord dealt with it in a very peculiar way because Miriam became leprous. Well, the fact we're going to deal with today is how the man Moses handled the aspect of Miriam and Aaron speaking against him, even though God had put him in total control. Well, I don't like to use the word control, in total leadership of the congregation. Miriam had problem with it, and Aaron, and he spoke against Moses, the Bible said, because he married an Ethiopian woman. Well, let's see how Moses dealt with it. We're dealing with the section in the book called No Personal Feelings. I hope you can find it. It stems from where we stopped last week. No personal feelings. With that statement in mind, we were talking about Moses did not have any personal connection with how God dealt with it. He separated himself from God's work in God's dealing with his brothers and sister. In other words, I guess, like I said sometime, he found a neutral gear, a gear where he wasn't for Miriam and Aaron, he was for the work of God, and did not put his own feelings in it, in how he handled the matter. He let God totally deal with the situation. And sometimes we gotta step back. Sometimes step back, get out of the way, and say, God, this ain't got nothing to do with me. They're not coming against me. They're not speaking against me, but they're speaking against you. And Moses had that understanding. So that's why he was able to go back to his training on the backside of the mountain. And God was able to deal with Miriam and Aaron without Moses becoming a problem. See, sometimes authority can get in God's way. And he would not permit himself to get in between God dealing with Miriam and Aaron. I hope you understand where we're trying to go, Clem. So the part of the scripture we're going to deal with is this one, and we're going to kind of I don't want to say stretch it out, but we're going to try to get much revelation, or like Apostle said, we're going to try to milk this section of scripture so we can see plainly what God is talking about and how we're supposed to, in turn, deal with. See, the Bible is written for our admonition. I don't want to call these Bible characters or God's servant dealt with situation. It's a MO, how we should deal with it. In other words, stick with the scriptures. You stick with the scripture and you be doing it God's way and not your way. Well, enough said. So here's the part of scripture that God said. Let me find it in the Bible. I'll tell you what verse it is. Wherefore, you are not able to speak against my servant, Moses. That's when God called him on the carpet. That's verse 8. Hear what God told Miriam and Aaron when those three were called forth. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, talking about Moses, even apparently. You're describing Moses' character, and not in dog speeches, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Now here's that grand statement we're going to deal with. Wherefore then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Now let's dig a little deeper in that statement here. Now I'm reading right out of the book with Brother Nee. So if you follow your book, you're going to follow me. He says to him, to him, such slander was simply terrible. God, being God, knows what is love, what is light, and what is glory. Now, I pondered on that statement and because Brother Nee wrote in such a way that he had to stay in the light of the scriptures. But he's talking about the character of God here. God understands exactly what he's dealing with when you deal with something. He know all the ins and outs. He know all the intricacies. He know the behavior of people. He know the character of people. He knows the end before the beginning. So when he deals with a situation, God deals with the whole matter. He don't just deal with the symptoms of it. He deals with the whole matter. In other words, God goes to the root of the matter when you deal with a situation. Now, here we're saying, so he's saying, God, being God, know what is love, what is light, and what is glory. So he knows the difference. Well, that's not even a proper statement. He knows those things because he is those things. And because he is those things, he is love, he is light, he is glory, he knows what to expect out of a situation and out of a work that he's called. And so, but does he know what is fear? You know, God knows what fear is, because there is no fear in God. The Bible says perfect love casts out all fear, but he's talking about not on his part, but on Miriam and Aaron's part. In other words, I'm going to put it like this, Claire. My wife and I raised three children. And in the growing up period, they made mistakes. And sometimes when they made mistakes, Claire, we had to deal with them, because we know that every time you make a mistake, there's consequences that follow. And we didn't really want to spank our kids when they did things. We didn't enjoy disciplining our kids, but it was necessary to do that. And so what he's saying right here is, God knew when Miriam and Aaron messed up, that were going to have to be consequences toward their action, and he really didn't want them to go through that. Just like we really didn't want to have to punish our children. We really didn't want to have to put the rod against them. And so we'd rather that they had not done it, so we would not have to feel the pain or their pain of going through what they're going through. And that's my point. I hope it's kind of scenario to what Watchman Nee is saying here. God knows the end from the beginning. So he knows reaction. He knows who can handle what, and so on and so forth. So I hope my point is clear to you. But he knows all those things. So no doubt he does know fear, because here he was fearful, and not like a fearful, like God knows fear, like God fear, God doesn't fear. But in a way of speaking here, we talk about in ways of speaking, that he was fearful for Aaron and Miriam, knowing the end result. As God, he had nothing to fear. Nonetheless, he was telling these two persons what a terrible thing they had done. And so, I got a parenthesis here. So you understand that there's consequences for action. Whereupon he ceased speaking with them and left in anger. This was how God maintained his authority, not Moses' authority. Now that brings us to this point here. If authority is challenged, if God's authority is challenged, he will leave in anger. Thus, the cloud representing his presence removed from the tent, and behold, Miriam was leprosy. You see, so God doesn't really punish anyone, class, as to say, God don't permit evil. There's no evil with God. There's no evil in heaven for God to bring down to earth. God doesn't put sickness on his children, because there's no sickness in heaven. There's only health and healing in heaven. And so when God deals with a person, all God has to do is draw his hand back. And this is in reference to him removing his presence. When the cloud was removed, it was God removing his hand from Miriam and Aaron, or Miriam, so to speak, because she's the one that received the leprosy. Aaron had to have the opportunity to watch. You know, sometimes watching is worse than having something, you know. So the point is this, that all God had to do is remove his presence, and there come the enemy to vindicate his evil and carry out some of his plan. So God had no evil. God had no sickness. God had no leprosy to put on Miriam. So it wasn't God's leprosy. This is God permits his will. He permitted the leprosy to come upon on Miriam. Brother Nee said somewhere in his book, he said the inward rebellion that Miriam had came out in a physical form of outward leprosy. He said that's what it looked like on the inside. That's a picture of what rebellion looks like to God from the inside. On the outside, it looks like outward leprosy. Leprosy was a skin disease, and the whole body became white because the skin was almost like in a deterioration form. Leprosy was a very bad disease. Matter of fact, you know, as I studied, it says the people couldn't have so many feet distant to get between people. And they was alienated from the community, and if you have to, people have to get close to them, they have to scream out, leper, 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 and so the people know not to come near and to hold their distance from them, because it was such a devastating disease, and so that outward leprosy, if rebellion is anything like outward leprosy, then a person in their right mind would not even cause themselves or permit themselves to even become part of rebellion. You see, if you only see what God sees, Glad, if you only understood how terrible rebellion is in the eyes of God, it's coming against authority, and it stinks in God's nostril, and God had no part with it. And that's why God deals with it at the beginning and at its root. And so Moses had to watch his family go through this ordeal, but they brought it upon themselves by their own words. So be careful, watch what you say with your words. Be mindful that your heart don't permit your mouth, or your mouth don't permit itself to contaminate your heart, or vice versa. Your mouth only speaks what's in the heart, and it could be contaminated. So don't let others contaminate your heart with their mouth. That's a safe way to say it, Claire. In other words, don't repeat what you hear. If it's derogatory, if it's against authority, even if it sounds like good gossip, don't repeat it. Because Satan has a way to try to get you to rebel and not you be the ringleader, you just be the listener of it, but don't permit your ears to partake of rebellious words. It all stinks in God's nostril. So, Class, I've been dealing with this subject for some time, and so I try to ward myself away from conversation that seem to even lead to the wrong thing. And I protect my heart all the best I can. And I protect my ear the best I can. I say, hold that, just hold that. If you're saying something about someone, I just hold that, or I just walk away because I don't want no part of it. I don't want to be a partaker of their evil. Those who do not know how to control their heart and lips are not fit to be in authority. Isn't that something? But when Aaron pleaded with Moses, the latter, or Moses, cried to the Lord. Now, this same person that he spoke evil against, he had to cry unto him for help because God would not no longer hear him. God, he had to go through Moses to get to God. So he spoke against the one that has his connection, ooh, Jesus. You hear what I'm saying? Why speak against the one that have your connection to God? You see, I can get off myself, well, Miriam and Aaron thought the same thing. But when God entrusted a pastor or someone in authority over you, you've submitted yourself to them, then they become responsible for your word. Or you might have a word for your family and your household and how to run your household, but when it comes to the vision and the plan of God, it's going to come through that man or woman or whoever in authority over you. It's going to come through their mouth. Is this the way God set it up, Claire? During the entire affair, Moses acted as though he were nothing more than a spectator. And that's my point. No, Moses found himself or positioned himself, Claire. And I like to use the word, I'm going to use it again, in a neutral gear. When I say a neutral gear, he wasn't for Miriam or Aaron, and he would not permit himself to even think wrong before God, so as to him to choose. He put himself in a position where God can act by himself, and him not being a partaker of God's correction and trying to prevent God from doing whatever he said do. Now, sometimes you're going to see where the mercy of God came out to Moses when God fell before God on his face, pleading for God to have mercy upon him, because Moses feared the consequences of rebellion. Well, you call that intercession. And a pastor does it all the time. A leader does it all the time. He intercede for those that speak contrary to God. Lord, forgive them. Lord, they don't know what they're doing. Lord, they don't know the outcome of their action. So he has to stand in God's place to be able to ask God pardon on their behalf. During the entire affair, Moses acted as though he was nothing more than a spectator. He had no personal acts. A-X. If you look in your book, he's talking about acts. In other words, feeling. He had no acts to grind. He neither murmured nor reproved. So that neutral spot I'm talking about. He had no, here's the topic of the class. He had no personal feeling, class, meaning no opinion of his own. He had no intention to judge or to punish. Now, I'm trying to find the right word. He isolated himself from his position with Miriam and Aaron as though they were not even brothers and sisters. He just let God be God. And that's what you got to do when you're dealing with people. You know, because if you act on your own behalf, your feeling will not even permit correction sometimes. You know, some people love their children too much to correct them. Well, when you love them too much to correct them, there ain't much love. That's giving your child over to the enemy. God would have been giving Miriam and Aaron over to the enemy. What? And the enemy will use you. And the enemy will destroy you. And the enemy will try to stop the work of God completely. See, matter of fact, seven days, they had to go without the camp. Miriam, he said, if a father was spit in the face, sure, you should not go outside the camp and be ashamed for 7 days. He said, so let it be with Miriam. Let us go outside the camp for 7 days and then come back in again. And those 7 days did not stop the work of God. Satan would like to stop the work of God, but it slowed it down a bit. And sometimes he would like to stop it completely. But God, being sovereign as he is, he will not permit his work to be stopped. And so he healed Miriam, and he brought her back into the camp. And then the cloud would come back over the camp, and then would move again. See, they couldn't move without the cloud. And so your rebellion caused a cloud to be removed from over your camp. My goodness, you heard what I just said? He had no intention to judge. But as soon as God's perfect was accomplished, he quickly forgave. Forgave who? He had to forgive Miriam and Aaron, his own brother and sister. He had to release them and let them know that he didn't hold anything personal against them. God dealt with it. That's a finished deal. I have no personal feeling about it. What you think about it, Moses? I don't think anything about it. God did with his business. So don't you ask me how I feel about this. I feel like God feel. God did what he had to do. And I did not get in God's way. So authority is set up to execute God's order. Now, I like this. Authority is set up to execute God's order. What God's order is? What God tells you to do. He gives every leader an order to fulfill. And your job is to execute it and let God deal with situation according to his own pleasure. And you just carry out the order and let God deal with the end result. That the scripture over in Jeremiah 29:11, I lack in the Message Bible. It says, I know what I'm doing, says the Lord. So I'm saying that right here. God's saying, I know what I'm doing. Let me do what I do. You think I don't know how to correct my own children? You think you know a better way to correct them? And that's you putting your own feelings in it, because sometimes you feel sorry for people. Sometimes parents feel sorry for them children and let them slide in something. And that make them bad citizens. It make them bad children to their parents. It just make them bad. It just turn them bad when you permit them to do what they want to do and feel sorry for them because you think it's too old. Why are you so hard on that child? No, you're not being hard. No, you're correcting them for life. So they don't make the same mistakes again. See, sometimes people don't understand correction. The Bible says the Lord don't correct you, then you're illegitimate. You don't belong to him if he can't correct you. You belong to the enemy. So don't be afraid, parents, don't be afraid to correct your children. Spiritual leaders, don't be afraid to correct those whom God has put you over. Because God has a purpose in everything he does. Now, authority is set up to execute God's order, not to uplift thyself. I'm going to mark this. I'm going to mark this statement, Claire, because you're going to hear this statement again. And a matter of fact, I'm flagging it right now. I'm flagging it. What do you mean flagging it? I'm flagging it because it's a good question for me to ask to you somewhere down the line. Now, it's for you to execute God's order. I like this last statement. Not to uplift oneself. Not to uplift oneself. Now, Moses did this. And this, Jesus. This error caused him not to see the promised land, class. And that brings me to this next point here. It's not in the book, so you got to follow me closest. The Lord took me on a little journey right here. He said, it is to give God's children a sense of God. You see that? When you execute God's order, it's to give God's children a sense of God. What do you mean a sense of God? The sense of God among his people and a sense of God. I don't want to use the word controlling, but the sense of God pastoring his people. Let me give you another word. A sense of God just among his children to lead them the way he wanted them to go. That's a little bit better if you can catch it. It gives a sense of God, not to give a sense of oneself. You see, God wants you to represent him in everything you do as leader, not to represent yourself. Well, now, what does that mean, Claire? Not to represent yourself. Represent yourself is the people see you and not God. Leaders should always be in a position where the people don't see you, but they see God. Apostle preached yesterday, Sunday, that was yesterday, day Monday, on massive anointing. And this massive anointing represents the presence of God in everything. Because God anointing carries the weight of God, the ability of God, the character of God. I'm going to use another word. The outcome of God in any given situation. So you're supposed to represent God in everything. And turn to number 20. Number 12. Turn to number 20, class. And let's look at this right briefly, what happened here with Moses and what prevented Moses to go to the proper, to the promised land, because what he did was he didn't give the people a sense of God. Why? He didn't give his people a sense of what word I'm looking for? A sense of God's character. A sense of God's being. Now I got the word now. I got the word. A sense of God's glory. God always wanted his children to experience his glory. And God always wanted to present himself as awesome, holy, righteous, and a good father. That's all I wanted to do when I raised my children. I wanted my children to know that I was a good father, or I am a good father. Because good father take care of the children. Might not be always, people confuse love sometimes. Because I have to correct my children sometimes. But I want them to give them a sense of authority. That if only you obey me, like God said, you'll eat the good of the land. Now, number 20 here, it gives us an idea of what happened to Moses and what permitted him not to go into the promised land, because he didn't execute God's order properly. My, so good. Let me stay right here for a little while. Executing God's order from heaven to earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God gives the order. It's our job or authority job to execute heaven on earth. We are to carry out God's order, or let's use another word, God's plan here upon the earth. And if we don't carry God's plan here upon the earth properly, exactly, then it's not going to come out like the way God ordered it. And God's going to say, I don't recognize this. Nadab and Abihu tried to do it. They tried to execute something God never even ordered. So the Bible says a strange fire came down from the Lord. A strange fire. And it burned Nadab and Abihu up because God didn't recognize that sacrifice with this sacrifice. Because God didn't order it. It was man's doing. And it misrepresented God. So God don't want to be misrepresented, class. So now we're going to see Moses going to misrepresent God. He says, I wish you had me show me. I'm about to show you right now. Now look at that first verse. Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh, and Miriam died there and was burned there and was buried. I said burned, forgive me, Claire. And was buried there. And was buried there. Oh my goodness. And there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. And the people chose with Moses, or argued with Moses, and spake, saying, Would God that we die had died when our brethren died before the Lord? He talking about when Korah, Desmond, the bottom died before the Lord. He said, think it been better we would die with them? And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into the wilderness, that we and our cattle should die here or die there? And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt and to bring us into this evil place? And it is no place of seed or figs or vine or pomegranate, neither is there any water to drink. So it was a devastating position they were in, and they were complaining to God, or to Moses rather, that this don't sound like the place we need to be in right here. I think you've been leading us in the wrong place. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle, going to meet God, of the congregation, and they fell upon their face, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Well, when the glory appeared, it always appeared with instruction. And God is bringing instruction to Moses and Aaron to give unto the congregation or the assembly. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron, thy brother, and speak unto the rock, here's the instruction, before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them and water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock and said unto them, hear now, ye rebels. And notice how Moses responded to the people. That was not God's response. That was the vexation, I'm going to use this word, that was the vexation of Moses' own soul. He permitted the people to get him to function in his personal feeling and not God's feeling. Authority should always represent God's heart and represent God in any and every matter. But they did not see God here. They saw Moses. This was not God's response. God did not call them rebels. Hear ye now, rebels, will we fetch you water out of this rock? That wasn't God. That wasn't God's feeling at this time. At this time, God wanted to present his glory to him. God wanted to present a loving father to his children. God just wanted to love him, saying, look, I brought you out of here. I brought you here. And Moses didn't bring you to this bad place, what you call an evil place. No, I direct him to bring you here, but I'm going to take care of you right in this wilderness. I'm going to take care of you where there's no water, where there's no food. And just trust me. Depend on me. God wanted to show his glory that he was God, and besides him, there was no other. That he can take care of you even if he got to cause water to come out of a rock. But Moses misrepresented God, and they did not see God represented correctly. And God was disturbed about this, and God dealt with Moses in another way. Watch how God dealt with Moses now. He didn't deal with the people. God didn't deal with it. God wanted to love on the people. See, sometimes God wants to love. He don't need you to correct the people for him. Sometimes people correct people in the flesh. Well, God don't want you to correct his people if he didn't tell you to correct them in the flesh. This was not supposed to be a correcting moment. This was a loving moment, a moment that God showed his love, showed his glory, showed his kindness, show his affection before the people. And that's what God wanted to represent. So he said, you call you rebels, you. You trifling rebels, you. You no count rebel. I mean, that's just some of the choice words that he could have said instead of that. It all would amount to the same thing. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice. God did not, some people think he did because he struck the rock. No, it wasn't so much of the striking of the rock. It was how he misrepresented God with his words. And wrong words, class, always lead to wrong action. And Moses misrepresented. He struck the rock not once, but twice. And the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord, everybody saying the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron. Listen to this. Because ye believe me not. My goodness. I dwelt on that a little bit. I stopped and I paused there and I meditated on that a little bit. Because you believe me not. God said, because you didn't believe that I able to function as a loving God and a merciful God, because you did not follow my instruction, just like I always follow God's instruction like he tell you. Don't try to add to it and don't take it away from it. God has a purpose of how he deal with everything. Say it like God said. Don't add to it. You believe me not. To sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. See that? Therefore, you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. You see it? God said, you're not gonna cross over to the promised land because of this one mistake here. Because you let the people got into your personal feeling and you got personal with the people. No? Authority not supposed to get personal because they're God's people, God's children. Yeah, sometimes you do have personal feeling, but you should not demonstrate your personal feeling when it comes to leading God's people. Moses did, and he messed up, and God had to deal with him. Now, the important thing is to help people to be subject to God's authority. And see, it's not your authority. It's God's authority. It was therefore a small matter to Moses if he were rejected. So Moses cried to the Lord. No, I'm reading the wrong thing, huh? Okay. No, I just took that little side. I took that little side journey, and I'm thinking I'm still in number 20, but I'm still in number 12 here. So I just took a little five. Let me bring us back to number 12 now. This statement here goes to number 12, and I want you to see it now. So let us too be delivered from personal feeling, for the presence of it will damage God's affair and bind God's hand. Do you see what I just said? Let me read the statement before. The important thing is to help people be subject to God's authority. It was therefore a small matter to Moses, just dealing with his other situation with Miriam, if he were rejected. So Moses cried to the Lord, "Hear, O God, I beseech thee." He handled that perfectly right. Now he said, let us too be delivered from personal feeling. Don't get your feelings mixed up. For the presence of it will damage God's affair and bind God's hand. See, that's a powerful statement. It's going to damage the way God wants to do things. My time is up. It will bind God's hand by allowing him not to be able to fulfill his plan and purposes. So, class, I hope you see how important this is, how important this class was today about no personal feeling. And I want to leave you with always permit God to do things the way he pleases. You've been a good class, and I think next week is the exam. So I'll send some information. Well, just study your Just study your quizzes, and I think you'll be all right. You've been in a good class. I'll see you next week, or the week after next. God bless you.